The GOP, the good old party. The Republicans' free-for-all is better politics than the Democratic Party's Clinton coronation. Interesting statement, is it not? So said Daniel Henninger, writer for the Wall Street Journal. It seems as though we do have a Republican free-for-all, and it's amazing how many candidates want to be president of the United States. There is Hillary Clinton, somewhat sarcastically referred to as Queen Hillary, for she has all but been nominated and coronated by the Democrat Party as candidate for president, versus some 19, did you get that number? 19 Republican potential candidates for president. Wow, that's unbelievable. Talk about opportunity. I hope there's some good ones there. And we the people better get used to this political free-for-all, especially on the Republican side. I do hope that there will be a serious candidate who arises, a candidate to oppose Hillary Clinton, and I wonder how likely that is. All of the political action, rhetoric, and of course the usual list of promises for America to be better. By the way, are you better off after 6 years of Obama? All of those promises will come from the Republicans. Chief among those candidates, Republican candidates, that is, some say, is Jeb Bush, brother of President George W. Bush and son of George H. W. Bush, and of course a large part of the Bush family political dynasty. Jeb Bush is former governor of the great state of Florida. Some question whether or not Mr. Bush is in fact and in heart a true Republican, but more like a rhino, you know, that is a Republican in name only. Whatever he is, Bush, like all other candidates, has an ear to the ground, listening for signals from the American grassroots so that he can form strong opinions and construct a political platform and present himself as a candidate in charge to the American people. Some think that Jeb Bush is at the very top of the GOP presidential preference polls. What do you think? There are others, of course, who decisively disagree. Quinnipiac University released a poll that showed 25% of the likely GOP caucus members, that's 25%, in the state of Iowa, which will hold the first primaries 8 months from now, would definitely not support Mr. Bush for president. That is a startling number this early on in the campaign, don't you think? Even though the fortunes and fates will rise and fall over the coming months, these findings could bode ill for Mr. Bush even so early on. Apparently, there are many Republicans in Iowa who are seeking a broad, centrist Republican candidate who is acceptable to all voters. Who in the world would that be? You know, that seems virtually impossible. How can so-called Republicans, conservative and leaning right on the one hand, support a centrist or center-left candidate wholeheartedly? Such voters would abstain from voting if the candidate chosen for nomination by the Republican Party is too centrist, much less left. And that is especially so when it comes to social and fiscal issues like abortion, gay marriage, taxes, the welfare state, and more. Many say Mr. Bush is not clear on such issues, and they refrain from active support. What is your opinion regarding Mr. Bush, Jeb Bush from Florida, and would you support him? Not only must Mr. Bush clearly define his political philosophy and belief, but he must also position himself clearly and competitively against as many as 18 other potential Republican candidates for president. That's right, 18 possible candidates for president on the Republican side. There are some formidable names who wish to be heard and considered by Republican voters, including Chris Christie, Mike Huckabee, Scott Walker, Rick Perry, and many others. You can be sure there will be a Republican verbal bloodbath, and the Democrats will take notes and advantage of everything said by the Republican candidates, especially those who fail to be nominated, in their critique of the candidate who is. Many claim that Jeb Bush is old news. That is, part of and a political product from the Bush family dynasty. Enough of the bushes, they say, and on with something and someone new, fresh thinking, more current, better able to understand the issues in a different light and propose solutions, newly fashioned and strategically relevant. The critics are not clear why Mr. Bush could not do that, but perhaps concerned that the voters will perceive him in that light and fail to support or vote for him in any enthusiastic way, no matter how good he might be. What do you think of Jeb Bush? Mr. Bush indeed has executive experience as two-term governor of the great state of Florida. He was a strong decision-maker and apparently one with values and without scandal. There was seemingly integrity and transparency as hallmarks in his governorship. He was a governor who built consensus to a certain extent, and even though there were many who disagreed with him, he was respected for his leadership governing the great state of Florida for the better. The state advanced economically, jobs were created, and the problems associated with immigration, both legal and illegal, were well handled, or at least managed, by Mr. Bush. Again, most importantly, jobs were created, and unemployment decreased, and that is so important to the American people. All of that, say the Jeb Bush supporters, indicates that Mr. Bush as Republican candidate for president would be an excellent choice for America, and the Republican Party, and for Republican voters at large. Do you agree? With such a record as governor, it is somewhat difficult to understand the position of early potential Iowa caucus members. I would not vote for Jeb Bush, they say. No matter what, they will never be able to support that candidate in a primary. But that is really politics at work, rough and tumble, aggressive, demanding, posturing, sometimes even irrational. The pursuit of power and influence somehow seems to bring out the worst in people, and at this political level, early on, that may be necessary, but it can often get down and dirty. Negative ads and negative politics, the political attack philosophy which can serve no good for our great country. Don't you agree? By the way, these people never really advance a reason or reasons why they would not vote for or support Mr. Bush. Wonder why. That very same study by Quinnipiac University, which showed that 25% of the likely GOP caucus voters in Iowa would not vote for Mr. Bush, also found that 20% would not vote for Chris Christie, governor of the great state of New Jersey. They would not vote for Mr. Christie as Republican nominee for president. No reasons given, but simply, nah, I wouldn't vote for him. In addition, another poll found that 21% of likely New Hampshire primary voters said they would never consider voting for Donald Trump, in addition to Mr. Bush and Mr. Christie. You know, the live free or die state, New Hampshire. They wouldn't vote for Bush, Trump, or Christie. Would you? Any of those three? But again, New Hampshire caucus members give no reasons why. But that, of course, is so much the current nature of so many American voters. That is often an emotional, visceral reaction to a candidate without the ability to fashion reasons, well thought out and rational, with respect to the decision, why not? So many voters actually voted for Barack Hussein Obama because they liked him. His charisma, his magnetism, and his personality at work, whatever he believed. And perhaps these potential voters in Iowa and New Hampshire have reacted the same way to Bush, Christie, and Trump, not liking them and therefore declaring openly they will not vote for any of them. If not that, then what are the reasons why not? It is so critical, my fellow Americans, that we, as the scriptures say, know the truth. Know the truth. That we are able to fully understand the position of the candidates on the critical issues of our day and how they will lead these candidates, how they will lead if president, and make decisions which so directly affect our lives. Our lives. It should matter not whether we like a candidate, but whether we believe that candidate is the right leader with the right values, the right morals, and the right principles for our great nation. That's all that matters. We should remember at all times as voters that there really is no such thing as a Republican Party. There really isn't. Think about that. That is a party united in platform and principle, monolithic and one for all, and all for one, in terms of principles and beliefs, consistent to the core as such a party leads our country. There's no such thing. The eventual Republican nominee for president, whoever he or she may be, will have some, perhaps many, perhaps even most, of the Republican principles and core beliefs at heart and in mind when president, but by no means all. And when once in office, that person can do anything he or she wants. We will find at work what that candidate believes and how that candidate evolves as president over 4 long years, or in the case of Obama, 8 long years. That may or not be Republican or conservative, or even one who is true to his own platform or promises. Whether Democrat, Republican, or independent, we the voters roll the dice. We roll the dice, and we can only hope and pray that our precious vote, our highest political right, elects one who is the very best for our great country. We never really know, do we? In fact, we find out who and what we voted for day by day. The present administration is proof positive of a political platform riddled with broken promises. Is the 2016 election and eventual president of our great country going to be any different? Mr. Bush, a former state governor, will be challenged by perhaps as many as 18 other Republican candidates for president. Interestingly, of those 18 candidates, 14 are current or former governors of one of our great states. 14. Isn't that interesting? In a day and age where in so many ways minority rules and all things must be politically correct, 3 of those 14 candidates, governors, are female, namely Nikki Haley, current governor of South Carolina. She's a good woman. And another right-thinking governor, Susana Martinez, current governor of the great state of New Mexico. She's a good woman. And former governor of Alaska, Sarah Palin. She's a good woman, no matter how she's ridiculed. If it is time for a woman to be president of the United States, perhaps one of these 3 women, including a very special woman, Carly Fiorina of California, might well be a better president than candidate Clinton. And, in this politically correct day and age, perhaps Governor Susana Martinez of New Mexico may have an advantage, for she is not only female, but Latino as well. How about that? You know, one of the tragic things for our great country is that none of this should matter. It should not matter. That is, the gender, the age, the race, or the ethnicity of any candidate should be irrelevant, don't you think? Completely irrelevant. Perhaps the most important qualification of any candidate is integrity. Integrity. That is, the ability, the innate characteristic and character of any candidate to communicate and live by the maxim, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Again, the truth, Washington, the truth, Mr. President, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We get anything but from Washington. So many of us would like to add the words, so help you God. So help you God, Mr. President. Unfortunately for America, that has become politically incorrect, for it seems it is our mission to take God out of everything. Everything. Oh, how refreshing it would be to see and hear a candidate bring the God of the universe, our Creator, back into the political picture, a change back for America. Perhaps that would be a change back that would really be revolutionary, indispensable for the future of this great country. Don't you agree? Oh, I hope you do. I wonder what Jeb Bush thinks about So Help You God, or Chris Christie, or for that matter, the truth. Or Donald Trump. Have you ever heard Mr. Trump talk about the God of the universe? Or candidate Hillary Rodham Clinton, for that matter? Have you ever heard her talk about the God of the universe and the God in the pledge for truth, so help me God? I haven't. Isn't it a shame that we have to wonder what these candidates think and believe when it comes to such critical matters? How then does a voter who is Christian, whether evangelical or other, assess a candidate when it comes to matters of faith? How do we do that? Can, for example, a Christian believing strongly in God vote for a candidate who is either not Christian or hypocritically so? Can a Christian in good conscience vote for such a candidate? What do you think? Many such potential voters think not, and therefore, unfortunately, they abstain. They just don't vote. That may be some justification in their minds for doing so, that is not. But it is tragic for America when any citizen of this great country fails to vote. Tragic. Tragic. And as the campaigns develop, we should listen carefully for candidate beliefs, their values and morals, and their position with respect to all matters of faith. Faith, whether expressed or not. So many will shy away from these issues as divisive and even irrelevant. God is irrelevant? There are many of us who believe that they are not only not irrelevant, but perhaps the most relevant. It really seems somewhat likely that the next Republican candidate for president will be a governor. Amazing, isn't it? We can examine the record of that governor in that state. The character, morals, and beliefs of that governor can be vetted and communicated, and we may well understand the choice we as voters have for president from the Republicans in comparison to and competitive with former Secretary of State and New York Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton. Clinton versus Bush. Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush. Talk about deja vu. Remember old Bill and old George? Or Clinton versus Christie? Or Clinton versus Trump? Or Clinton versus Walker? Or any other governor? Wow, what fascinating times, are they not? The politics have only just begun, but boy, have they begun early. It seems very likely, my fellow Americans, that will be your choice. That will be your choice. And what will you choose? What will you choose? I sincerely wonder whether any such choice is right for America. At least I want to question it. I want to vet these candidates, and I want to be certain more than ever for the one, for the party, for the platform, for which and for whom I cast my vote. I hope and pray you feel the same. What do you think? Whatever it is, please think hard and well and at all times. God bless you.